Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor, with a K. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And Luke. We have a special guest.
Hello.
A certain Mr. Hello.
Matthew BC.
I always leave that for people to jump in, but I don't tell them I'm going to do it beforehand. So I always make it really awkward at the start.
Well, you did it to Ben, and I saw the awkwardness there, so I was like, okay, I'll latch onto this as quickly as I can. And then I missed it anyway, so I just...
Yeah, oh well. How's everybody doing?
Have we got some drinks?
Yeah.
I didn't fill up as much as I filled it up to the top, and then I drank it all before we started.
What is it? You got some black...
No, it's just disgusting, full-fat Coke.
Nice.
Guinness.
My favourite Coke.
The best Coke. That kills you quicker, isn't it? So.
The furry teeth Coke.
Yeah, you got to brush your teeth if you're drinking some full fat Coke. It sticks on the teeth. Yeah. If you put a tooth in a thing of Coke, it's gone the next day, right?
Yeah, something like that.
If you fell asleep in a bath of Coke, you would wake up without any bones.
If you fell asleep in a bath of Coke, you wake up 10 years younger.
Did you ever hear this thing? I'm pretty sure it's an urban legend, but if you like pour Coke onto a pork chop and then leave it overnight, like maggots come out of it.
That sounds disgusting, but I've never heard of it. Never heard that.
I've definitely got Coke and a pork chop.
Some pork does have. I mean, you'd have to find the right one that had a sort of bacteria thing in it, wouldn't you?
I mean, I've got no idea. I can't remember if I heard it or if I saw it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would have been really... It was a long time ago. it's just something that's always stuck in my mind. Yeah. And I've never been daring enough to do it because I'm like, well, if it happens, then that's ruined pork chops for me. And I love pork, so...
And Coke. Imagine drinking some Coke and some pork.
Yeah, that's a combo.
That's what happens in your belly if you have Coke and then a lovely pork chop.
Can I be honest and say I've definitely thought about that before?
You can be honest. Luke, you're back. Yeah. How did it feel last week to have a week off, Luke? How did it feel to miss the first ever episode of this? This old shit.
It was weird.
He's got
it
zero
weird.
Opinions on it.
He's like, well.
It was quite nice in a way because I normally have to do the notes. I do my quiz questions that I put a lot of time into.
I have
a feeling he was sat in the same place just talking to himself for 2 hours, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't see me. I didn't have my camera.
He's answering the questions. To be fair, I did the quiz questions. I did think about doing the name game, but I just didn't think I could do it justice, so I left it.
You could have done it justice, man. Anybody could have done that justice.
I didn't want to step on your turf, man.
Yeah. So I guess let's jump in. Have we got any horror news by any chance?
I've seen a couple of things. Seen a couple of things knocking around on the old interwebs this week. So apparently, I can't see the link. Here we go. Freddy Krueger himself, Robert Englund, is signed on to star in Stranger Things season 4, which is very interesting, right? So apparently he's going to play a recurring character, Victor Creel, a disturbed and intimidating man who is imprisoned in a psychiatric hospital for a gruesome murder in the 1950s. So I'm pretty sure Stranger Things season 4 is going to be like Elsewhere. It's not going to be in Hawkins, right? Is that what it's called? I think at the end of season 3, they moved on. They went somewhere else. They all moved out. So it looks like it's going to open up the world to new characters, new settings, and...
Think that are they old enough to go to college now? I guess like the slightly older tier 2 characters will go to college.
Well, I think so, because every time I see one of the actors from Stranger Things in something else, I'm like, they are definitely 28 now. Yeah. What is going on? I saw, what's his name, Noah something, the one who plays the little kid with the bass and haircut. I saw him in something the other day. Jesus Christ. I was like, he had haunted old man's eyes.
He had a widow's peak. Yeah.
Lockdown has aged everybody, though, so.
Yeah, that's true. But some people more than others, and it seems Stranger Things actors more than others.
What's his name? Millie looks like, you know, the one with the long hair, the dark hair. He's like sort of the main character, I guess, at one point.
He looks
like
the one who's in Chapter 2.
Yeah. Those books that are called like Animorphs, and it's got like on the front cover, it has like a little boy turning into some sort of animal. He's halfway through. He's like one of the middle ones.
He's halfway through to
very
what?
Very curious to see. And...
Animorphs.
We'll have to wait and see.
Animorphs, man. Stories, always. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever read one before.
They were terrifying. I think everybody ever did was look at the middle one and just go, Jesus Christ. I've seen one where like a girl's turning into, I think it's a beaver, and it's haunted. It's absolutely haunted. I'm going to have to find it because it is terrifying. I kind of want to know what the story is. Imagine you were at Animorph and they went, oh, sorry, you're a beaver. Oh, for fuck's sake.
I don't even know. Is it like a superhero thing? I've never read it. Are they like, did they turn into animals for good?
This is fantastic.
Or is it like The Fly? Is it like a horror? Do they all end up with the penises in jars in the kitchen cupboard? Or what? I mean, this is body horror. This is on topic. Surely.
Yeah, it is on topic.
It's the only way to keep.
That was still a disturbing image that I now have in my mind, but.
Yeah.
This whole episode is going
to
be images.
I'm trying to send it to you, but for some reason, it's just not letting me have it. It's going, no, 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 you can't send that. This is a cursed image. Apparently, it's dinosaur ones as well, I'm just seeing.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sorry, my mind is still in penises in jars, and when you said I just saw a dinosaur one,
I've just sent it to you, so have a look.
Yeah,
have a look in the chat.
Absolutely,
there's
fantastic.
A guy. The one half. I mean, no disrespect to whoever's
like
put this cover together.
From ET.
Do you know what? The middle one looks a bit like a Russian doll.
Which the middle one?
Yeah, a toothy Russian doll.
To be fair, whoever's put this cover together, no disrespect to them, but this is a piss poor effort. The rest of them are pretty good. This one was
not a stellar one. That looked like fan art. Oh. If I'm being honest,
it looks like fan art, yeah.
No, it's quite hard. The tiger one's
in my mind. Let me see if that's any good. I think what we're gonna find is, I think what we're gonna find is all of these are actually full of shit.
Yeah, probably.
We're
looking for that. So that's the Stranger Things thing. Any other news I've got is. The Last of Us 2 snagged Game of the Year at the Golden Joystick Awards, which was yesterday. I haven't actually looked at the list of the awards yet, but I thought I'd read this out because obviously it was kind of a bit of a mixed bag in terms of how people responded to this game. But it still won like all of the best game, but it's also won like best storytelling and stuff, which is obviously what people didn't like so much about this one. Have you guys played this?
No, not yet. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't play games, really. at all.
Last of
I don't one, play games set with people's hearts.
No, yeah, I play psychological games, but I don't play.
Yeah, games. Just with your neighbours and stuff. Yeah.
Move their gnomes. You know.
Yeah.
These gnomes pretend to be their gnomes. Do the little voices. Do you ever guys play that? We are the garden gnomes. Jesus Christ, little bastards must have been as kids, but we used to knock on like strangers' doors and like hide in the garden. And then when the little old lady, probably not a little old lady, I don't think we'd have done that, but they open the door to nobody, but you're all hidden in the garden, and you all say, "We are the garden gnomes. We are the garden gnomes." That's horrible.
That does sound horrible.
That's creepy. That's creepy.
Yeah. I don't know why I ever did it.
The brood doing that to you.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to do that. No. Little snopes. Any other news? Any other news? So apparently Gremlins 3, I think we've mentioned this loads of times. I'll mention this because Christmas is coming up. But Chris Columbus updates on the sequel, says we're working out rights issues. So there is a script, there is an existing script, and they're working out some rights issues, and then they're going to apparently make it with tangible puppets, not CGI. We discussed Gremlins before, and do you remember how much the Gremlins puppets cost?
They were expensive. They were like 14 grand. And this was back in the, whenever it was. When did the first one? 80s.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a non-update, but I guess it's still, you know, someone saying something about it. But the animated series is headed to HBO next year. I thought it was earlier than that. But no, so we could be getting the Gremlins resurgence that everyone is dying for. Yeah.
Is there another word that would be more suitable to like gremlins than dying? Because I get it.
Gremlins 2 was one effort, of those films for me as a kid growing up. I'd watch it over and over.
Gremlins 2 is mad. Gremlins 2 is like so entertaining. I mean, it's not really a great film, but it is entertaining. Well, I guess that does make a great film. It is nuts.
There's so that much shit really going on. Good Key and Peele sketch. And they're coming with the Key ideas of what they're going to put in it. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. And some of them sound so ridiculous. You're like, well, that's not in the film. That's just made up for the sketch. Nope.
Spider Gremlin.
In the film.
Bat Gremlin. Spider Gremlin. Drag Gremlin. Electric Gremlin.
Electric
Gremlin.
I want to watch Gremlins again, man. Yeah. And the only piece of news I had was something. Sorry, go on. What are you going to say? Oh.
No, I was going to say, I want to watch it again at some point.
The only other piece of news I had, which was a film we've mentioned a couple of times, I shared this with you just before, Luke, is that slasher comedy from Blumhouse, Freaky, starring Vince Vaughn in the weird body swap thing, it's so it came out in American cinemas like recently. Mm. Apparently it is going to be available on demand from December the 4th, so obviously in the UK with lockdown and everything, no one's had a chance to see this yet. So that is when you'll be able to see it. And I think we might do an episode on it, or if we don't do an episode completely on it, we'll discuss it at some point as well. But yeah, it looks like fun. And if you enjoyed Happy Death Day, either of those films, which I kind of did and the second one kind of didn't, then it looks like the same sort of vibe.
Yeah. It's modern day Scream, I guess. Like they're trying to do slashes in a sort of
metal
I remember when way. Scream was modern day. I feel old,
dude. Don't say that.
I thought Scream was like the modern day Halloween. Now you're like, oh, I understand.
When did Scream come out? 95, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
25 years ago. Yeah.
So we mentioned this on last week's episode, is that the new Scream is just going to be called Scream. So Scream 5 is just going to be called Scream.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that in terms of?
I have not seen the poster. Does it look like a similar vibe?
Oh, wait. I might have seen a fan poster it's the tunnel. Scream. Yeah, the tunnel. Was that a fan poster?
It's a fan poster. Yeah, but it's so good that I'm like, so just make that.
Can I swear on it? Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't leave us hanging.
Yeah, I'm just worried that it's going to be a Riverdale sort of vibe to it.
Oh man, for the first, I was exposed to Riverdale like this week for the first time ever, and I don't want to sound like a dick, but I'm going to sound like a dick. My God, Jesus Christ, Riverdale's got this vibe to it. Every single scene and every piece of dialogue is so, like, it's got a cocky bravado to it.
Is where this like in the, every in season one, though?
I think so, yeah.
Just skip ahead. Watch one episode from season three or something. It's it gets so ludicrous.
Every character kind of speaks like this. Well, I've got some information that I'm just about to tell you about, and it's brand new information for you, and you're a dickhead for not knowing it. And that's how everyone speaks, and I'm just like, oh, fuck off. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I don't think I'll give it a chance, Luke. Sorry. I mean, overheard a bit.
I'm not saying watch, like, sequentially. just jump straight into,
okay. Okay.
into the deep end.
Yeah.
Did either of you see the Sabrina show?
I watched the first season.
Yeah, I saw the first season. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't enough to sustain.
No. Again, that is in the Riverdale universe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whatever that flavor is, that Riverdale flavor, it's just not for me. I just can't get along with it.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Yeah.
Are they similar then, tonally?
Yeah, is that kind of...
I'd say so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I enjoyed... I did enjoy Sabrina. I thought it was quite...
Sabrina's got more horror. Like,
that's what I liked. Yeah,
yeah.
It's just something about that where it's almost like it's been designed for people with... really like just what can I say attention, you know what I mean, that's what I'm trying to say attention spans, is that the right word, like literally within short attention spans, that's what I'm trying to say. So not slating you because you enjoyed it, Matt, sorry.
Come for the intros, stay for the pickups.
Yeah, but it's almost like every single scene it's got something extra like put on top of it, and there's layers and layers and layers, and it's just like trying to just keep you going to the next scene rather than developing any sort of story that's got any depth to it, and it just gets on my tits a little bit. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it was a bit of that, yeah.
We're just too old, yeah. We're just past.
I think that's the point, yeah.
Has anybody seen anything good this week that you wanted to quickly bring up?
Yes. But I can go last.
Okay.
While I'm sort of being a cynical, miserable bastard, can I just mention briefly The Haunting of Bly Manor, which we've discussed before on this show, and I've actually like watched it all and finished it now. So have either of you seen it?
I have. Yeah.
You've seen it, like, all of it?
Yeah.
You can spoil it if you want. I wasn't going to watch it.
I don't know if there's anything to spoil, Matt. Honest. I don't. Even if I tried, I don't know what I could say that would spoil something. If I said there's ghosts in it, you'd be like, well, I kind of know that. It's called The Haunted Bly Manor. If I told you anyone was a ghost in it, I mean, I don't even think I know who's a ghost and who's not by the end. I thought it was so dull. I found like I would never have finished it if my girlfriend wasn't insistent on us watching it. Because I reckon after about episode 4 or 5.
What did Charlie think of it? Did she like it?
She kind of felt the same as me, that it was dull. It's dull. It's nonsensical. Yeah. It thinks it's more intelligent than it is. It's not scary. It's not interesting. It's not funny.
It sounds like a Monty Python sketch.
I don't know what it's trying to give.
Yeah, it's...
It's dull, very dull.
100%.
It shouldn't be advertised as a scary Halloween sort of thing. It's not scary, like in the slightest. No. It's more of like a period drama sort of thing.
I just don't. Some of the framing devices, some of the plot devices, and the framing devices that they use are either they have no impact or no relevance to kind of like the rest of it. Like you could take out really huge chunks of it and it would still have the same effect. It's not like I go, oh, I'm glad it had that or it could have lost that. I just feel like it's all just in terms of pieces of puzzle, it's just mush. Like the puzzle has been left at the bottom of a lake and it's waterlogged and now you're just trying to smush it together.
I mean, if you're going to be bringing up Flanagan, I would just say I watched Hush again this week, the slasher where it's got Kate Siegel, his wife, she's deaf and she's in the house and there's a killer trying to get her. It's really good. I mean, it's like not, there's not much to it. It's just really tense, really sort of a simple concept done really well. What else has Flanagan done? Gerald's Game. That kind of period. He can do really good stuff. Haunting of Bly Manor is for me like his first big cock up. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't enamored with it.
I've loved the sort of everything he's done, and I thought The Haunting of Hill House wasn't necessarily the kind of thing I would usually go for, but I think I enjoyed it because it had enough going for it, some really good performances. But yeah. Kate Siegel, who's the lead in Hush, that's his wife as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It felt like her episode was...
She co-wrote Hush as well.
Okay. Yeah. I just felt like her episode of Haunting of Bly Manor, it just felt so pretentious. Something about it just made me... I think that was when, even though that was like episode 8 or something, I think that was when I transitioned from being bored by the show to like actively kind of hating it. Offended. Like, yeah. Whoa. Yeah, but that's... I guess I won't say any more because I don't sound like a right twat. But yeah, didn't enjoy that.
Yeah. How many hours of your life did that take up?
What, 10 hours?
Quite a lot, man. No. And this is the thing. I would usually give up. I'm not the kind of person who can be persistent.
I've got
a 10-minute rule now.
I'm just like smashing through really? Netflix. My continue watching line is like fucking 3 miles long.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, I think the thing is like with films, no matter what the film is like, I can always persevere and watch. But with a series, I feel like it's a real dedication to go, right, I'm going to watch all of this. So if I'm checked out by 1-2 episodes, then I cannot check back in.
Okay. Well, okay, so that's... Don't watch that then if you want to watch some TV. But here's what you should watch.
This isn't the recommendations part of it, and it's just the what did you watch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have well fucked that.
Yeah. Well, sorry. So I don't know why, but I've been hankering to watch Samurai Jack again recently. I don't know why. Just want to watch some cartoons. And I saw that Genndy Tartakovsky, I think that's how you say his name, the guy who made Samurai Jack, he had a new cartoon out called Primal. It's all on Channel 4's stream service, so I thought I'd stick it on.
Oh, is it?
It is amazing. It's like one of the best things I've seen this year, like out of everything. It's 10 short episodes. It's about a caveman and a dinosaur. It's really well animated, no dialogue at all. It's the music's really like really well put together. The sound design is amazing. It's so gory, like unbelievably gory, but like it's really emotional. Within the first episode, I've been watching, like, you know, you watch something, you think that really works for me. You go on YouTube, I always sort of watch some reaction videos because I want to see other people reacting to the same moments. I've been doing that tons just to see if I'm...
Where have you watched this, sorry, Luke?
Go on All Four, the Channel 4 streaming thing. They were all the Adult Swim stuff on there.
Oh, amazing. So,
it's called Primal, and it's... I binged it so quick. I just couldn't stop watching it. It's just watch the first episode and you'll know exactly what I mean. Like, it's doesn't take any prisoners. Like, there's one bit I was like, geez, I think that might be too much for me. And it, you just, I don't know. It's really good. So it starts off kind of simple. It's just like a guy who goes through these things. He has to bond with this. There's a T-Rex. So it's a caveman and a T-Rex. And it starts off very natural, and like the things that they're having to overcome are quite simple, small things like trying to eat or survive or get away from some other dinosaurs. But then it gets more and more Conan-esque in terms of the world, and like it becomes more like what's the painter's name? The guy who painted Conan? Frank Frazetta. Is that right?
Yeah.
So it becomes. More and more, the world becomes more and more like a Frazetta sort of painting, and it's just so good. It's like it's the fluidity of the animation. Yeah.
There's a behind the scenes video on YouTube. You've seen that?
Yeah, I'd say watch the season first before you watch it. That does spoil some.
Yeah.
But I say just watch the first episode. There's one of the episodes, episode 8. I'll spoil this just because, just to give you an idea of how crazy it gets, there's like a zombie, there's like a zombie dinosaur.
Okay.
But it's so well done. You know what it reminds
into
me of?
It. It
reminds me of Mad Max in a sort of visceral, like non-stop action. Mad Max Fury Road, sorry. Non-stop action, really rhythmic sort of.
So how many series are there, sir?
Just one. And it's 10 episodes. And I think they're going to try and do a season 2. I don't know if it was as well received as this guy's previous stuff, Dexter's Lab, Hotel Transylvania, Samurai Jack. But I've got a feeling this will be a bit of a cult thing, because whenever I brought it up, other people who have seen it have said similar things. So, it's really good.
I might watch some tonight, man, because just from looking at the art style and that, I'm pretty excited. I've been watching some dinosaur stuff. I've been watching Walking with Dinosaurs, the BBC show.
This is the same.
This week. <similar. laughs> this is exactly very similar. And I watched all the Jurassic Park films as well, so I'm on this a dinosaur fantastic. Hype.
Well, recently.
Yeah, man.
You've been on
My daughter's been off sick from school for a couple of days, so we were like, let's just watch all the Jurassic Park movies and proper comfort day. Love it.
Cool. What about you, Matt? You seen anything?
So I got one absolute piece of shit that that deserves to be recommended anyway, and one that like was just pretty good. So the absolute piece of shit. Have you ever seen a Denzel Washington film called Fallen?
No.
Oh wait, is it the? Oh no, I don't think I was gonna say, is it the one where he's a pilot, but it's not that one, is it?
No. It's far sillier than
that. Oh yeah. I've definitely seen this.
Yeah. So
John Goodman as well.
It's got the best cast in it. It's got like they must have just rinsed their budget on like because it's Denzel, Donald Sutherland, and John Goodman. As just like, and then they just put. Oh, and James Gandolfini is supposed to be like this good guy cop, just like this normal guy cop. Mm. And in the first scene that he's with Denzel, he's basically like asking him if he takes bribes. And he's asking him, do you take bribes? And if you don't take bribes, do you judge other cops who do take bribes? And it's the most, and it's just, they're just having this chat as cops. And James Gandolfini's face, he's full-on Tony Soprano. Basically, like, his body language is, if you don't take bribes and you think I'm a shithead, I'm going to smash your fucking face through this table. And it's just supposed to be this conversation. It's just... And this is just... Like, I'm just saying this because the film is about a serial killer. Denzel put him away. And he gets killed on the electric chair. And, well, it turns out that there's, like, this demon inside him, and it can't get to Denzel, but it can get into everyone else's body around Denzel. And it's ludicrous. It's absolutely awful. But I kept watching. I was like I said, I normally have, like, a 10-minute limit. If I'm really not into something, I will switch it off.
Yeah.
But it just had this... It just pulled me in, and it was like, it's awful, but it's and Denzel, you know, oh, that's where the meme came from, the way he like holds him, when he's like, oh, everything's fine. Okay.
That's
wasn't good, but that's it was just.
I've definitely seen it late night on a Channel 4 or something. I think.
Oh yeah, that's where it belongs. Yeah, Channel 4. Film 4 at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the second film, which is actually worth talking about, because I've been talking to Luke recently about all of the Italian horror movies that I've missed, which is all of them. And I watched Opera the other day by it is Argento, isn't it?
Yeah. I've not seen it, but
it's typical giallo sort of structure. Like very slashery, you know, very slashery sort of structure, but there's this one really unique image in it, and basically this guy keeps coming in, like there's an opera singer who is being targeted. Basically, this guy keeps bursting into her place and tying her up and putting like these needles underneath her eyeball, so she can't, like, so they go up to here, and if she closes her eyes will get ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
And she, and basically she's being forced to watch like these brutal murders. And that image of the needles in the eye is really good. It's just like a really strong image, and it basically sustains the whole movie until the end, when it becomes like typical batshit and it's amazing. So I don't really want to spoil it, but there is a good, like, the way they figure out the killer is one of the most unique ways I've seen, like, someone find out who the killer is. So I thought it was really well done.
So I've not seen that much Argento, but the reveal of the killer is always quite fun. Like, yeah. The Phenomena, yeah. The one with Jennifer Connelly, has got an insane reveal section at the end.
Yeah, He, that's kind of his thing, actually, now I think about it. But yeah, I enjoyed that. I'd recommend that one, but stay away from Fallen.
Yeah.
If you want to watch Ben's that movie, watch Man on Fire.
Yeah.
Again.
Banger. Anything else, Luke? You seen anything else?
No, that's the main. Push and Prime.
The only other thing I'll probably mention is I watched the Exorcist documentary on Shudder.
Oh, right.
Leap of Faith. William Friedkin on the Exorcist. And yeah, it's a film that's been analysed and poured over, you know, for decades. But to hear the director kind of give his perspective on a lot of the iconography and metaphors in the film, and there's loads of like really good production anecdotes as well. And he talks about his relationship with William Peter Blatty as well, and the fact that he just seems like a really sort of nice guy. Shoots from the hip.
He's not afraid to. Everything I've seen him he's a fun guy to interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's loads of interesting stuff I didn't really know about the film, and I kind of thought like I knew most about it, but yeah, a really insightful and fascinating documentary, so definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, cool. sounds worth it.
So
definitely
Matthew BC, before we start talking about the film of the day that we're going to be discussing, you have made a film over a period of days.
And
did you want to maybe talk about
isn't
it?
Even the fucking half of it, mate.
more than a few days.
No, yeah, well, not that many though.
More than, but not that many, a few days.
Yeah. So, like, what do you want to know?
I just want a few more days. I guess just like tell us everything from the conception of it through to the birthing of it.
Well, like I alluded to, it really wasn't that many days. So from I had a relationship with a producer who written a couple of films for him, and he hit me up with this other project, and it was called Snake Bite, and it was basically about a woman who gets bitten by a snake and turns into a snake. And for what, like, I had just been suspended from work, and I didn't know what was going to happen next. So I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it, but if I can direct it, basically. And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, very surprised. But it happened, and like, and basically he asked me at the beginning of July, and we did it in August. So and it was very quick, very, very quick. From writing it to getting it made was probably about 5.5 weeks, and then we had like 3 weeks in between, and then did some reshoot dates, and that was pretty much it. And the production was only like 9 days. So, yeah, very quick, very...
And it's not called Snakebite anymore, is it? It's called...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was called Snakebite, but the production process, the development process, we found a new way into the story and a new way into the character, and kind of we figured out what we wanted her to become and what that would mean. And it became Medusa, Queen of the Serpents.
Cool. I mean,
and each individual part of the process has like its own story. So I that's why I'm a bit lost in saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was such like an intense period of time that like just 100 things kind of happened in one go. And so, but yeah, I mean, I loved it. I loved making it. I'm really proud of it now. Like after that really intense experience. So just, yeah, I'm like really happy with where it is at the moment.
I've seen it. It's premiered at a festival, like an online festival. Can other people watch it yet? Is it online anywhere?
No, it's not available at the moment. It'll be released sometime spring to summer next year, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Okay, cool.
Where did that all fit in, Matt, with the making of connective tissue as well?
Where did it fit in? So I actually finished shooting connective tissue in 2018, like in October.
Oh wow! Okay, I didn't know that.
It was just a long post-production process, where like, long story short, I ran out of money, and I had to find a color grader to do it for free. And if you know anything about grading, it's not the most glamorous job, and I can completely understand why I couldn't find someone really to do it successfully. And then I learned, and basically I learned how to do it myself. At the end of it, but like if I'd known that was going to be the way I would go about doing it, it probably would have been done a year before. Mm-hmm. So that was just learning the hard way. But yeah, we were done. We finished in June properly. So like 20 months after we shot it. and then we got it to dust like immediately afterwards. But then they gave us a release date of October the 28th. So it took a long time for it to come out from there as well.
Cool.
And that's available to watch now, so you don't have to wait around for that one.
Yeah.
So just go on YouTube, search connective tissue dust, and it should pop up, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But having absolutely nothing to kind of show for my skills, to having a short and a feature kind of finished within, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Like a few months of each other, really. It was fucking crazy. It just like, yeah, I'm so glad to be over the hump, to be honest, because it was a long time of just not it. I was waiting around for like the first year, and then because I kept thinking that I needed connective tissue to move forward. But at the beginning of last year, I just decided that I've got to keep pushing forward and. Yeah, I believe that because I had one project that was meant to go in April, and then obviously COVID happened. But I feel like because I had started moving in that direction, and because I started to figure out how to produce myself and just give myself those skills and just the chance to actually get something made, I feel like when the opportunity did come, I was ready to smash it. So,
that's good. And you've got a couple of other things in the pipeline as well. That's right, isn't it?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So I'm actually working on a short a thriller. Like, I don't want to go into details too much at the moment because I'm shit actually pitching things. So I've got that going, and I've also got a feature film that's shooting in January. I'm not directing that one, but I wrote it. It's
the shark one.
Yeah, it's like okay. Saw with sharks.
To put it oh dude. Say no more, please. Don't say.
No. I'm really happy at how trashy, amazing that's going to be. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And DP on Medusa is actually directing it, and he's got a really good eye. So I think it's going to come out really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
What's the name of the shark? It's like you've got.
Oh, what's the name of the shark? Well, yeah. The shark doesn't have a name, but like the guy he's doing it's called Sharkhead.
So. Sharkhead, okay. Shark Ed.
You gotta give like... Sharkhead.
Sharky.
Gotta give the shark a name, man.
You gotta
give the
shark a name. Cartoon head from Ideal.
Yeah, I do.
That's basically my idea of what this guy's gonna look like, but with like a big plastic shark head.
That sounds good.
I told you I can't pitch things. Fuck off.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It was challenging to write that one, but kind of once I figured out what it should feel like, I think it was all right. So I'm looking forward to. There are other ones as well. Like I am trying to get I want to make a bunch of films next year, but everything in this industry is wait and see. So we
it must be amazing to have got a feature.
So again, Ben.
Well, I just said it must feel amazing to like have got a feature out there. I mean, I watched it only last night, and I think it's great. I think it's got some really good body horror moments, and the fact it was done in like 5 days. Well, is that how long you said the shoot was, pretty much?
Well, I'm not going to say no more about that because, like, I know that you saw the intro and...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, whatever answer's given, that's the answer.
You sound like a politician.
Yeah.
Whatever answer I give is the answer. So, you know, take from that what you will.
Cheers, guys. I'm just grateful that it's out there, to be honest. Like, I was glad, obviously, I'm glad that I got the short made, but I'm not really, like, I know I said I'm making another short, but I'm not really a short film writer. Like, I really struggle with short films, to be honest.
Okay, yeah.
Because I need that time to, like, really... invest in the character and figure out kind of what the problems are and use that space. Like, I love, like, we're going to talk about Cronenberg, so it's worth kind of just name dropping now, but like, I think The Fly is structurally the best film ever made. I think that structurally, like, if you're looking at a script to say, like how a narrative can explore, like truly explore whatever it is a character's going through. I think The Fly is it. Like, and I love body horror for that reason, because it's so pure. The transformation is like, whilst a lot of characters go through an internal transformation, like he's, you know, body horror allows you to go through a physical one. So you have those, without sounding too sort of basic with it, like you do have those beats to follow with body horror, and you kind of know which path you're going down. And as an audience member, like for me specifically, I just feel that if you know that this stage of the game is this version, at this like level of intense, then the end's going to be fucking great. And that's what I love about Cronenberg, because he tells you up front, I'm going to be batshit right now. I'm number 10 batshit right now at the beginning of the fucking film. And we're gonna take it up all the way up to fucking whatever number. I don't know why I said it like that. It's stupid, but
we're gonna take it up to T9. That's as far as we're going.
T11, but that's only taking it up one notch, and it's
yeah.
Well, I mean,
but then 11 shouldn't even be a notch. All right,
it starts at 7. Okay, it starts at 7, and it gets to fucking 11. Okay, how's that?
So, I mean, the reason we're talking about Cronenberg is because, if you didn't know, today's episode is about The Brood. So maybe, Ben, have you got some information about The Brood?
Yes, indeed. The Brood is a 1979 Canadian psychological body horror film written and directed by David Cronenberg and starring Oliver Reed, Samantha Egger, and Art Hindle. The plot follows a man and his mentally ill ex-wife who has been sequestered. By a psychologist known for his controversial therapy techniques. A series of brutal unsolved murders serve as the backdrop for the central narrative.
It's worth, I mean, okay, I'll do the scores quickly, because I think there's a big thing about this film, a big important point that is very much worth discussing. But the scores have got IMDb. Have it at 6.9. That can't be right. That seems a bit low. Rotten Tomatoes critic score is 83.
Nice.
Is it a bit low?
Really? Well, 6.9. So critics on Rotten Tomatoes of 83. Audience score is 68. Letterboxd has it at 3.6. So it's pretty average. But I mean, a couple of choice reviews. Entered the Void, who I actually follow. He's a good one of the good reviewers. He says, for lack of a better way to phrase this, I will just come out and say it. The Brood is one of the most effective horror films I've ever seen, if not the most effective. 5 stars. That's a bit hyperbolic. And then someone else here says, EKFGGRD put, dumb shit, ugly baby, stupid ass story. 1 star. So,
ugly baby.
Yeah,
a bit harsh.
So I mean, it's a divisive film, I guess. So the important point: David Cronenberg wrote this film following the tumultuous divorce and child custody battle waged with his ex-wife. He said that the character, Samantha Egger's character Nola, possessed some of the characteristics of his ex-wife. He made this film as a sort of
Oh, yeah. Well, split up with me, will you? Well, you've got an external womb. So how'd you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, just jumping straight into it, are we?
Well, I mean, okay. You mentioned The Fly. I wouldn't say The Fly is my personal best film of all time, but it's definitely my favorite Cronenberg film.
It's not like my favorite film. It's just like, in terms of the structure, like, I think that you can't really get much. I think that just the way that it's laid out is a perfect like rise and fall, like it's a perfect version of that story.
It's definitely my favorite Cronenberg film. It's like, I always feel like Cronenberg films can be quite cold, quite sterile, whereas The Fly's actually got some like levity to it. This is a good example of one of his coldest ones.
Do you think so?
I mean, it's not funny. I mean, you said you laughed at
the... Do you know what I think? It's fucking hilarious. Like, I think it's absolutely hilarious. Like, right from the beginning where he's like, daddy, daddy, to that guy.
He looks
yeah. Okay, I can see.
Just like, stroking his beard, just like, yes, yes, Mike. I couldn't quite work out what was hilarious. What are you talking about?
I thought it was a play. I thought that first part was like a play.
I thought it was a play too. Took me a minute.
You know the whole psychoplasmosis thing. I've seen this before, so I kind of knew what was going on. Did you understand what it was for the majority of the film?
No idea.
It doesn't explain what the hell.
I didn't get it until the last third. If I'm being honest, I just thought it was like, I just thought he was fucking her, to be honest. I thought he like grabbed her, like, I'm gonna like treat you and then just like plow her. And then,
but like in the
ending happened and it was like, oh, okay.
But in the play bit at the start, like he's giving this guy like a therapy session or whatever you call that. And like you see the little lumps appear on his back and head, like halfway through the thing. I don't think that's ever explained particularly well for like the first half.
Yeah, it's
of the
kids, isn't it? Well, at the end, you can kind of figure it out.
Yeah, but I mean that this Oliver Reed's thing that he's selling is that he like externalizes people's grief or whatever, and they come out as like physical deformities.
I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like he's sort of burying it a little bit too much. But
yeah, I'm a bit confused.
Do you know that's really hard though? That's like being subtle is like you want to be subtle, but like the balance of how much information you give away is like one of the hardest things I think when you're writing.
Mm. Yeah,
I'm writing one at the moment, and it's all about how information is hidden. It's hiding on its own accord.
Yeah. So who we got in here? We've got Oliver Reed, who plays Dr. Hal Raglan.
He's great.
He's really good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. And I liked the protagonist. I thought he was
Is there anybody else?
Which is kind of what you need to be.
Sweaty and desperate. A couple of things I noticed about the protagonist. Number one, he looks like Peter Dinklage. I was getting Peter Dinklage vibes.
He's got the same head
all over. He's got the same head as Peter Dinklage. Also, I noticed he had a shit coat on, and I thought Oliver Reed had a lovely coat. And I feel like the coat budget, they literally just went, Oliver Reed's got a lovely sheepskin. Art Hindle's got like this horrible
coat, doesn't he? I didn't
think
about that.
And Art Hindle, they've just given him this threadbare.
I'm sorry, mate. You're going to have to bring your own clothes in.
Yeah, sorry. We've only got 45 pence left for the coat budget. So either your own coat or we're going down a charity shop. Peace.
Charity shop it is. I thought, you know, because I've not seen his first two horror films. Well,
Sliver and Rabid.
Rabid. It's called... Is it? It's not Slither.
No, what's it called?
Shivers.
It's, Shivers.
Shivers. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. You completely like farted on my brain then. Like,
sorry.
Because I haven't seen those two, but it did feel a lot like Videodrome and Scanners because I really love the story of Scanners because they only. Again, he wrote it in like 14 days or something. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how many days, but he wrote it really quickly. And if you watch Scanners, then you'll realize that that's completely obvious because it's all over the place. Like if Fly is one of the best like structural films, then Scanners is probably one of the worst. And it still has that same tone, that early Cronenberg tone, I think. I do get what you mean by that coldness, but it's more like the sterility is more obvious in like something like Dead Ringers, I think. Like, delivering is very sterile, I think. But that's one of my favorite of his films. To be honest, I appreciate pretty much all of his catalog for like different reasons. Even something like Cosmopolis, which is, again, is completely fucking batshit. I actually really enjoyed more in an intellectual way than like an actual enjoyment way. But he always makes me. Have you not seen it?
No, it might even seem better now
because Robert Pattinson isn't just coming off Twilight. So,
yeah. Jesus, 8 years old now, Phil.
Yeah.
Wow. What about History of Violence and Eastern Promises? So obviously, his foray into crime dramas.
No, he's been like, for me, like, I feel like his. Whenever he changes into something else, is actually pretty good. I wasn't that bothered about Map of the Stars, though. I did start watching that, and I didn't really like it.
Not seen that.
That's his most like recent one, I think.
Yeah.
But The Brood, which is probably actually focus on The Brood. So, what did you guys actually think of it then?
Well, I mean, I enjoyed it much more this time round than the first time I watched it. The first time I watched it, I don't know what I was expecting. This time, I guess because I knew the ending, like the fun kind of bombastic ending was coming, I just kind of appreciated it more this time around. Yeah, it's not my favorite Cronenberg film by far, but I do quite admire a few things about it.
Yeah, I think there's lots. I think there's quite a lot to admire. I think it is a bit funny, probably unintentionally, but I think that adds to the enjoyment of it in total. Some sequences, I don't know, the Oliver Reed Samantha Eggers stuff, I was kind of a bit not fully invested in that.
Yeah,
I just liked, but there's a certain scene. I loved the scene at the school. That was. That was awesome. I just kept thinking about those poor kids. Obviously, we'll get into that.
They're
going to be scarred for life. But apart from that, like, I think it's pretty enjoyable. That final act could perhaps. I know, obviously, it's really good and it's really impactful. But I think maybe if that there was a bit more of that littered throughout the film, it'd be more enjoyable. But
I would have. There's only so much you can get away with seeing a random like pack of kids murder someone and then just disappear for a minute. Like,
yeah, kids in little snowsuits as well.
Sorry?
Yeah, the little
kid,
cute
little
snowsuits. Yeah.
I thought the design just reminded me too much of Don't Look Now, of the
kids.
And I was really confused. I thought it was an old person. It's like the Don't Look Now woman.
I think it was just the red as well. Obviously, was really. I guess it was that. It was the weird, uncanny valleyness of the kids and the red that was really effective, and the fact that a lot of the time you did sort of see them out of shot or just from behind, and it was like, I want to get a good look at these little weirdos. And
I know it must have been there can't have been that many. It must be difficult to cast a lot of them, but I would have liked to have seen more with a lot of them. You know what I mean? Like, especially at the end, like a whole army of little creepy kids attacking Oliver Reed, pecking him.
Well, that was the best moment when he's like walking through the floor and they're all turning around one by one. And it's just like, don't look back.
And they're all sort of jumping down from their bunk beds as well. Yeah. So obviously the main story, the framing device, is the fact that there's a divorce, isn't it, between Frank and Nola Carvath, and she's in this institute where she's being treated for a mental illness. It's not really an institute, was it? Like a retreat? What would you call it? Cabin.
I think the nature of his work can be highly contested as being anything to do with therapy, to be honest.
Yeah. I just want to know how, like, they got involved with it.
Sorry. What So what was actually going on? Like, why were there kids there? Like, because I knew, because I was just trying to figure out why. I'm still stunned, if I'm being honest. Well, it was very it did come out.
You've got to suspend your disbelief, I think.
Like, I was thinking, like, how long was the incubation time then? Like, how many kids? How long was she there for?
She's like, popping them out, man. Months, she was popping them out. Nah.
The external little, sack. Little kid. Have extra nutrients in or something.
We just water it. Pop some plant food on it.
Just shove a hot dog in there.
I reckon she could pop a couple out at the same time. I can't imagine just one popping out each time.
Yeah.
Three at a time.
She's like, it's like bunnies where it's just like, did you know that... I'm gonna start segueing in a minute. I should probably focus. It's okay. I was watching some bunny birthing videos and I couldn't figure out like if it was faked or not.
Recommended on YouTube.
I swear. It looks like the bunnies are born in eggs.
Little eggs. Little reptile bunnies. I like them.
Yeah. No, it sounds like I'm making it up, but watch a video later.
Yeah.
Of bunnies giving birth. Okay. Like, it's fucked. It's weird, man. It's not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
It's like you come out.
were you expecting? Yeah.
I guess anyway, we'll have blitz through the plot a little bit. So we've got Oliver Reed's character who has this thing called psychoplasmics, where he talks people through their grief or some whatever internal struggle they've got, and they externalize and becomes like physical manifestation of the body. So like growths on their bodies, usually like people get like little marks on their face and that kind of thing. And at the same time, we've got he's got the wife, and the dad, Art Hingle, is looking after the daughter. I can't remember why or how. I think
they're going through like a custody battle, aren't they? So for a 5-year-old daughter, Candice, who they all call Candy, and he discovers like bruises and scratches on her after she's been to see Nola. Yeah. So he goes and tells Dr. Raglan, Oliver Reed, that he intends to stop visitation rites because obviously something dodgy's going on. But for some reason, Raglan takes that as the opportunity to intensify the sessions to kind of like resolve the issue quicker. Sorry, I don't really understand
what.
What a dick move. and then there's obviously.
So based on what you just saying there, is it entirely plausible to suggest that the bumps and bruises that were on Candice were being caused by whatever Dr. Oliver Reed is up to?
Well, I think it might be the other kids.
Oh, it's the little kids.
I think so. I'm not too sure.
So this is where I get confused, right?
I think it's pretty easy to get confused by this film. I was confused several times.
I give the first like 2/3 like 2 out of 5, and then the ending gets 5 out of 5 for me. But I don't understand now. So the bumps and bruises coming from the kids or from what he's actually doing?
I don't think Oliver Reed is doing anything to the candy. I think it's the mum
the mum.
Michelle. Is Michelle, like, what happened to Michelle then?
Which one's Michelle?
Sorry, I'm calling Mike Michelle because of, like... that guy at the beginning looks like Art Garfunkel.
Oh, okay.
Like, he takes his top off and he's got bumps all over him. So is this psychoplasmics thing an actual thing that's happening? Or is it just those fucking nasty-looking kids, like, going around beating up all of these residents?
No, it's actually happening because we see it in real time at the very, very start. Art Garfunkel's got a clean face.
I wasn't like in the best state when I was watching it, and it all kind of blended into like, I don't know. It was like a fever dream anyway. Like,
And there's also there's the other guy who it's giving him cancer. Like he's developed like his cancerous growth.
Oh, with the neck, yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in Naked Lunch as well. I think that guy.
Mm. That's another one I've not seen.
Cancer neck guy.
There's obviously something to do with Nola being physically and verbally abused by her alcoholic mother, and then neglected by her dad. Yeah. He was also an alcoholic. So obviously this leads on to, with the psychoplasmics therapy, it leads on to her projecting her rage onto these little kiddywinks, and they end up doing her bidding for her by murdering people that obviously have done her wrong in her life, starting with mum and dad.
Yeah.
Thanks, mum, for raising me.
He kills the mum.
Nasty little kids to kill you.
The death scene is pretty good, I think. It bludgeons her repeatedly with it's like a meat tenderizer or something like that. But then
what initially happens though is she's looking after Candace and she hears some like a ruckus in the kitchen, like a plate smashing.
Well, it's like they blow through a door, and they explode a bottle of milk and orange juice.
Yeah,
and it's all, and she's like, oh, I must have left the washing on or something. Like it's like someone wrecking the kitchen.
No. And then she walks in and the kitchen's wrecked, but she still doesn't seem that concerned. She still is a bit like, oh, this is unfortunate. What's going on in here? We'd be terrified.
And I think we don't quite get to see the creature at this point, but I think we understand that it looks a little bit like Candy from behind. It wears a similar jacket. It's got
I just assumed it was the Don't Look Now woman, if I'm being honest.
It's one of the three. It's either Candy, Kid, Peter Dinklage.
We do kind of hear the kid as well. It makes some weird little noises, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
And a few other little squeaks and squeals, little weirdo. but yeah, so the mum gets, well, obviously it's Candy's grandmother, gets bludgeoned to death with a meat tenderizer. And then Candy comes out to investigate, and she doesn't seem that bothered, to be fair, does she? And then we do see the little brood dude up on the stairs, and again, before he goes out of shot.
Do you know who I feel bad for the most? That poor ex-stepdad. He's been out of these people's lives for 12 years, and that fucking crazy bitch, like, still has it in for him. So she's like, sets these fucking demented bastards after him. He's like, he's been living his own life for like 12 years. He's like living in a different place. He's forgotten all about this mess. And
I think
that guy.
That's receipts.
The receipts.
The next one gets killed is the dad. I think he beat her. Or he did.
No.
He was abusive, wasn't he?
The beef was that he never stopped the mum beating.
Yeah, he never stopped.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So complicit. He didn't even do that. Complicit. He didn't really do that much. He was passive.
Yeah.
And 12 years later, you know, it just seems a bit excessive. Like the way
he still gets brooded. He's still on the list.
What's the thing?
I think that was
like,
I think worse than the teacher, actually. She did nothing.
Yeah, poor teacher.
I think she killed the teacher because of her hairstyle. I think that was it. She's got like these weird long bits there. It's kind of a mullet, also kind of a bowl cut. I think commit to one or the other. You deserve to die for that. And in front of your class.
She gets killed by those like little Lego toy hammer things.
Yeah.
Could you kill someone with this? It's like a Duplo hammer.
Get the world's strongest man. You get Hulk Hogan to try and smash your head in with that, and you'd be like, can't feel it.
The scene where whoever gets stabbed, I think it is with the hammer, actually. Whenever you see the hand come in, like, whenever you see the hand and it's like stabbing or hitting the person that's doing it to, it just looks like the softest blows. Oh, yes, it is the mallet. It just looks like this soft little delicate wrist is like tapping someone with a fucking inflatable mallet. And it's so good. It's just so awful that it's so good. I love a good cheap film. Like,
I think they should have
used. They spent all the money on the womb, I think. They spent all the money on that. They couldn't afford like weighted mallets.
Wombs are expensive, man. So, well,
after one of them kills the dad, it dies of natural causes, and they get it on the autopsy table, and they're like, "This isn't a kid. This isn't. Peter Dinklage.
Doesn't have any. Casual is it when they're like, apart from not having any genitals? It's like, what do you mean? Yeah. That's not a clause.
The guy doing the autopsy, it feels like he's kind of enjoying it in a way. He's like, well, it's got no genitals. And can you guess what else it hasn't got? No? Yeah.
I'll
answer it for you.
And he's like,
it hasn't got a belly button.
It's like, here's a fucking gold star for you. Well done, my friend.
It's got like a camel sack as well. That's how it lives. It's got like a finite supply of life juice in the sack on its back. We never get to see the sack. We just have to imagine it. But
it's too expensive. You can't be like giving all these kids sex.
Are they kids? I guess they must be kids acting.
It's probably the same girl that they just put this mask on and duplicate her in post.
we
can only afford one kid.
They've also got beaks. That's right. So he says they haven't got any teeth, but they nip you with this beak, that's going to be pretty gnarly. Yeah. It's a really weird little creature, isn't it?
I feel like there's a whole... I feel like you're taking the piss.
Yeah.
Are you?
They've also got...
I still don't know.
Six armpits and four butt cheeks.
They got two fucking life sacks hanging out of their ass.
Yeah, if you squeeze a life sack, it makes like a cat, like a clown nose honk.
I imagine it just feels like a rotten waterbed, you know.
I think it feels like an easy peeler Satsuma.
Anyway, so what happens next?
What happens after this? Yeah, what does happen next?
Raglan doesn't want Art Garfunkel or any of the other people because they're just getting little moles on their faces and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas the woman, he's made some serious breakthroughs with her. She's doing something crazy.
This is where I could have done with a little bit more exposition. Why is she so great? Like, because she's manufacturing these fucking crazy kid things in her.
Oliver Reed should have had a PowerPoint presentation about her.
Yeah. I could have done with a PowerPoint at this stage, I think. Yeah, I was like, who's winning out of this? Are you getting anything from it, Oliver Reed? Is she getting anything? Those more mouths to feed.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Like, they're in Sainsbury's and their fucking shop goes up like 50 quid. It's like, what's going on there? It's like, we've got extra mouths to feed. Just a quick scene like that to give us some hint about what's going on.
Well, so Art Garfunkel goes to the guy with the neck issues. He goes to his house and he says that he's got Nola looking after all them kids. Like, he doesn't know what's going on, but he does explain that there's like all these kids at the house. And also around that time they steal Candy and take her to the cabin. So then we got Art Hindle. He has to go and save her from his ex-wife.
So they steal her from school, obviously, and then kill the teacher. The reason she dies is because Nola called up the house and she answered. Well, all she was doing was babysitting, really, while Peter Dinklage was off trying to work out who was dead.
Is Peter Dinklage like the phagocytosis of Art Hindle? Did he sort of make Peter Dinklage?
There's so many weird crossovers of names here, like Art Garfunkel, Art Hindle, Peter Dinklage, Hal Raglan. I just can't handle it.
Yeah. Peter Dinklage. No, that's just... He doesn't look like... He looks like... Do you know the warrior with the fro? Like the white guy with the fro, the tall, lanky warrior from the Warriors. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
He looks like that guy.
Yeah. He definitely looks like Dinklage as well, man.
But yeah, from that point onwards, basically it's shit show city, and it becomes the most entertaining film. Like, I was genuinely quite bored, if I have to be honest. Trying to figure out what it was, you know, it's just that I just thought it was just doing a film. And then he gets to the cabin, and it's like the best movie ever, really.
Yeah. So Aubrey explains what's going on. He says, he kind of comes around to the good side. He says, you need to go and appease Nola whilst I go and get Candy. If Nola starts to freak out, then the kids are going to sort of freak out and attack Candy. So this is the big reveal. Frank goes in and she says, look at this. Say again.
His name's Frank.
Yeah, Art Hindle plays Frank. Yeah.
Okay. Not a girl football.
No.
She looks a bit like Sigourney Weaver at the end of Ghostbusters in this, with a nice, like, free flowing like nightgown. But she's got an external womb underneath, and she kind of goes, have a look. Get your eyes around this. Have a look at this.
Yeah. So she's got one fresh to go. All done.
Here's one I made earlier.
Yeah, she bites it out of her teeth and licks it clean, like licks all the amniotic fluids and blood off of it and gunk. And he said, "Oh no, I disgust you." And he'd be like, "If I was him, he'd be like, yeah, okay." Even normal pregnancies aren't that like pretty.
It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah,
I mean, it was perfect. Yeah. Don't get me wrong; it was exactly how you need to do that. I mean, it's basically how I opened my packet of crisps, to be honest. But, like, just attached to you and dripping green liquid. It was just so disgusting, but, I loved it. I did,
So, at the same time, Oliver Reed's getting Candy out. Stealing candy, you could say. This is like stealing candy from a baby's... is what he should have said. It was doing
stealing candy from some babies.
I just want to pause here a sec. So we were talking earlier about the potential incubation period. The other question I have is, like, all of these kids, they're the same height, look like the same age. It, like, when the fetus falls out, it doesn't look, it's not the same height as all the others. It's so... how does it grow? How quickly does it grow? I want answers and I want them now. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I imagine I would like if it was born like a foal. Like, it comes out running. Like, it starts running around.
Oh, that's even more tough.
Find its legs. Slipping over itself.
How creepy would that be? It's like finding its legs, finding its footing, and it starts to run around. And then it would instantly have, like, her mindset, so it'll instantly attack you. See, if they did a remake of The Brood, they could really do it just this.
Yeah.
Have, like, a few different wombs opening at the same time, rupturing.
I think you could do a I don't know about The Brood, but you could do a really good remake of some of his early films, like Scanners and Videodrome, where, like, the concept's really good. Like, even The Brood, I would probably agree. Like, the concept's really good, but he just doesn't... I feel like now I've kind of gone through it myself. Like, I feel like he didn't have enough time and enough money. I feel like that is the problem for every film, basically, that's done, like, indie style.
Yeah.
They wasted all that budget on Oliver Reed's coat.
I'd be interested to see what you thought of, what you think of Shivers. Rabid.
I haven't seen it. I want to check it out.
Yeah, because that one I think Shivers was his first. I think he did something like an art film before all of these. It's something to do with sound.
He made like a sci-fi. Like, I was looking at it the other day. He made like a sci-fi and he made another film. But I think they were both, from what I was reading, they were both like silent movies with commentary on top. I'm not really sure how the I want to check him out now. I want to check all of his stuff out. And he made is it called Fast Company? He made like a car film.
Like, Crash.
No, not Crash. No, no. It's called Fast Company. I haven't seen it, but it came out between like he did Shivers and he might have done Fast Company as a second film actually.
I don't know. I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so Oliver gets Candy out, but the babies start attacking Oliver. And they like swarm him, nip him to death. And then Candy's hiding, and they're trying to kill Candy at that point. Because yeah, the mum's like, if I can't have her, then I'll kill her, or something on those lines.
Which is the most stable thing she could probably have said, to be honest.
Yeah. But
so,
how did he kill? So Frank strangles her to death.
Decides, yeah, yeah. He just strangles her. He just strangles her. Obviously, it was the only thing he can really, I mean, just put her out of her misery in it.
And then all the kids just drop dead, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is handy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they really did murder fucking Oliver Reed, didn't they? Bless him.
Yeah. Fucked him up. That coat's ruined as well, which I was fuming about. I was like, that is never going to come out.
Do you know what coat that is done? Like? It didn't look like it was blood seeping in from the outside. It looked like it just splashed blood, like in dots on the coat.
Yeah. That's what I thought, yeah.
Attention to detail wasn't great in this film.
Frank rescues Candy.
They just couldn't afford anything else.
Yeah, so as Frank's taking Candy's away, it zooms into Candy's arm, and she's got a couple of the little nubbins growing on, and so she's got the psychoplasmosis thing happening already. And that's how it ends. So I guess let's play a bit of the name game. Do you know what the name game is, Matt?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to describe some films, just like small concepts of films, and the name of the film will rhyme with the name of this film, The Brood. It's very, very, very complicated. It might take you a while to get it. It won't. It's super simple. So, number one, this film is about a woman who gives birth to all these streakers who are constantly running around with a tackle there.
The nudes.
The nudes, exactly. I told you it's not that difficult. Okay, this other film I watched is pretty great. It's about a man who has a really cold neck. And his ex-wife subconsciously gives birth to these stretchy scarves. Yes, the snood. That's quick. Okay. Number three. this one's similar to The Brood, but all of the kids she gives birth to are teenagers, and they're like really mopey and
rude.
Close. They're flicking everyone off, being dead annoying and rowdy. You know, they've got that, the carrying around that, you know, mindset.
The mood.
Close.
The moody. Like how much does it need to rhyme? Like, can you see
this is the full rhyme, not half rhyme.
The although dude? It's
the tude.
There you go. The tude.
Right.
The what?
Giving me that tude, like the attitude.
Oh, I didn't say that, but I'll take it.
What did you say?
Yeah,
I said the tude.
Why close enough?
Yeah,
I mean,
I just said, yeah, just because I thought, just to move on.
Okay, don't worry about that one. This other film I watched is really good. It was classic in the making. It's about a woman who gives birth to geographical coordinates.
The altitude.
The
longitude.
Close.
The altitude, longitude.
The longitude and latitude.
Huh?
Sounds fucking awful.
The longitude and latitude.
Yeah.
The first two thirds are like 2 out of 5, but then the end really kicks off. the last one. Okay, this is the best one. So it's actually way better than The Brood, this one. It's about a man who keeps finding mini pizzas, small sandwiches and bowls of crisps, and he keeps eating them, but unbeknownst to him, his wife is giving birth to the buffet.
The food?
Close. That's mostly there. mini pizzas, small sandwiches.
The finger food.
There you go.
I did spit then. That was ridiculous.
Well done, you got them all right.
Lovely.
So now we normally end on rating the movie at like A to F.
What was that?
We normally end on like rating the movie. Between A to F. Does anyone wanna go first?
I don't know. Like after watching it, I was pretty much like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I really like that. But then after giving it a bit more thought and discussing it today, I realized that maybe I did only really like the end.
Sorry, I might have been a bit of an influence there.
Yeah, I think there's obviously some good parts in it, but I think the ending kind of blows everything else out of the water. So
yeah.
I would probably only go for a B minus, I think, with this one. And if it didn't have the last, I'd be a lot lower if I didn't have the last scene as well. So
I've gone for a B minus as well. I think I like it more on this viewing, second viewing. I think knowing the sort of more the context David Cronenberg is sort of writing this about his ex-wife makes me kind of enjoy it a bit more. B minus. Yeah. Good for that. What about you, Matt?
So I think as a film in general, I'd give it an A. But only because like the ending is so powerful and it's a Cronenberg film, so there's a level anyway. He's doing different things, but as a Cronenberg film within his own filmography, I'd give it a C.
Okay.
That's basically me just saying there are Julia Stiles films from like the early 2000s, and there's like Freddie Prinze Jr. was in one of them. So once you have that in the world, you can't give David Cronenberg anything less than an A.
That's true. So take the fly out of the equation. What would you say is your favorite David Cronenberg film?
Naked Lunch. Oh.
What about you, Ben?
I do like Videodrome, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
me
for
too.
Debbie Harry, to be fair.
Yeah.
The ending sucks. Like it's a really good film and a really good concept, and then they just try and they get stuck, I think, and they can't figure out how to end it properly.
Mm.
But
yeah.
What about you, Luke?
Go on.
I'll go with the fly. Anyway, moving on. We're
didn't he say it apart from the fly?
If you take the fly out of the equation, the fly is the best.
For clarification, I would say Naked Lunch even if the fly was there.
Okay. I've not seen the Naked Lunch.
It's so good.
Read the first chapter of the book and was very confused.
Yeah, the book's awful, but the film takes the basic principle of the book, which is there's a guy who's completely fucked on smack, and he's in like Morocco, Tangiers, doing loads of drugs. And he's writing a book at the same time.
Robocop, basically... isn't it? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Burroughs?
The guy who plays Robocop.
Peter Weller.
Peter Weller, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Robocop. Yeah, yeah.
Robot Cop.
Robert Cop. Okay, so we'll end there. Matt, have you got somewhere you want people to go? Links or anything?
Go to YouTube, check out Connected Tissue on Dust. I'm on Twitter at SentientBC, but I really do talk a load of nonsense. So it's up to you, really, if you take that plunge.
Cool.
Thanks for having me on, by the way, guys. I do appreciate having a chat about body horror and having a chat about Cronenberg. I was originally thinking that Saw or The Mist when I was first looking at your list of films, because I'm a huge fan of both of those films. But I'm glad I actually got to watch something I hadn't seen before. And as I was watching it, I was wondering why I hadn't seen it, because I do like Cronenberg so much.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got the opportunity. If you ever do any Jallo ones, I want to be on there because Jallo is wild. Yeah. Like...
Well, we've not done much Jallo on here, so maybe we should pick one to do sometime soon.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What, after Suspiria, where do you... I mean, I know that's not quite Jallo, really, but where do you go? Deep Red or something like that? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I've literally only seen The Church in Opera. So far, other than Suspiria, so I'm pretty much game for anything at this point. I think all of those guys are fucking great.
We should do a Fulci film. We should do the Beyond. Have you seen The Beyond?
I started watching it, but I fell asleep. But not because it wasn't good, but I'm just tired.
That's an insane film. Okay, anyway, so thanks for listening, guys. If you enjoyed the episode, become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating and reviewing and join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude, but also thanks to Matthew for being a right horror dude as well. Cool.
Cheers, thanks guys. For being horror dudes.
That's fun.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Cheers. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.